Oh man, it was so pretty. What is it? What is it? Redness? Blueness? Greenness? Purplish? Wait, I got it. Blackness.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this first episode of Your Daily Dose of Blackness, a podcast where we give you all things Black history, Black accomplishments, and Black excellence that you may have missed out on or never even heard of. I'm your host, Caitlin, and it's my job as a Black person to help you know about Black culture so that we can all live in a world where we can understand each other. Now, get your notes ready because it's time for your daily dose. For this week's dose, I sat down with West Liberty University's newly selected 37th president, Dr. W. Franklin Evans. Dr. Evans has already broken barriers at West Liberty for being the first Black president ever to be selected during its 183-year history. With over 25 years of experience in education, Dr. Evans has worked at many institutions, such as Virginia Union University, Elizabeth City State, Alabama Agricultural and Mechanical University, and Tennessee State University. Before being elected at West Liberty, Dr. Evans served as interim president at both Voorhees College and South Carolina State University. Considering the institutions listed are historically Black colleges and universities, or HBCUs for short, I wanted to know why Dr. Evans chose West Liberty, which is a predominantly white institution.
I wanted a different type of experience. When I studied to be in higher education, it was always my plan to be at a predominantly white institution. I did my dissertation on an area related to salient Black leaders at predominantly white institutions. So for years, I wanted to have a presence and saw the importance of a Black presence on predominantly white institutions, institutions that don't look like me, but certainly ought to value and appreciate what someone like me can bring to the table.
Dr. Evans met many goals during his tenure at South Carolina State University. Enrollment increased, there was more alumni support, and fundraising efforts rose to 687%. I asked if Dr. Evans had those same goals in mind and whether he wanted to increase the number of colored students at West Liberty.
Enrollment is important wherever you are. If you look at the pandemic and how it has affected higher education, there have been declines and decreases in enrollment across the spectrum. And so just as it was important then without the pandemic to increase enrollment at Voorhees College, it is equally as important that enrollment becomes a priority, stays a priority here at West Liberty University. And when I'm speaking of enrollment, I'm not just talking about persons of color, although diversity is something that is on the radar and something that I think we have to be intentional about. But it's enrollment of students and wanting to make sure that the college sustains itself and that we are financially stable, secure, that we can do all the things that we need. And so most institutions nowadays are enrollment driven. And so that enrollment is still a priority. It was a priority then, and it will continue to be a priority here at West Liberty University.
Afterward, Dr. Evans commented that being at West Liberty is not a new experience for him. Though he has worked at multiple HBCUs, his academic training came from PWIs. I wanted to understand his perspective on the academic, cultural, and social differences between PWIs and HBCUs.
There are many differences between PWIs and HBCUs. HBCUs like to brag and about the fact that when you come to those institutions, they focus in on the individual, that they equip you certainly to make you feel good about yourself, certainly to mold and nurture you into a better person, and that they are invested in you so that you become a product and a part of that family. And it's intentional on the part of our HBCUs to reach out and do those things. So often PWIs have not gotten there. In fact, Some will say that when you attend a PWI, you're just a number. For me, I attended the University of Georgia, and out of some 28,000 students, I was just a number. And sometimes you can get lost in the shuffle. You know, advisors are at HBCUs are not the same as advisors of at PWIs. The advisors that I experienced, they tell you this is what you need to do, and that's it. They're not the ones to come when you get a bad grade or you're struggling and say, oh, come here, let me help you, let's talk about it. And no, that doesn't happen. When I was struggling in calculus and I went to the advisor, thinking the advisor was going to say, well, look, I know I've got some notes I can share with you, or I know that professor. No, the advisor says, well, you know, you can drop that class and sign up for it again next quarter. That was the advice. At our HBCUs, the advising is much more, as I said, much more deliberate, much more intentional, where you've got people saying, oh, no. If you don't come to class, you've got professors or individuals that will come to your dorm room and knock on the door and say, you know, I haven't seen you. Where are you? Send people to get you and checking on you so that your success is tied into their success. And I must admit now, I do believe that our PWIs are doing a better job at reaching out to students and working on those students who potentially are at risk, students who need to get better acclimated to the culture. So I think PWIs are working harder at doing that.
My final question to Dr. Evans involved his accolades in the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. The NAACP is a civil rights organization that responds to incidents of violence against people of color. I wanted to know how Dr. Evans got involved with such an important organization and what were his contributions.
I came from a household of two parents, a mother and a father who had rules, regulations. I think they did an admirable job of rearing myself and my siblings. And so when my parents spoke, we listened. I was a good, obedient child. Let me repeat, I was a good and obedient child. And so when my parents said, I think you should do this, this is what I did. Both of my parents were actively involved and engaged with the NAACP. Each parent, you know, did their own things, and both were civic and community responsive and actively engaged in things. But the NAACP was one of those things that meant a whole lot to them. I saw how they were engaged with voter registration, just back then growing up, just the importance of that, the visibility of that, as well as what the NAACP had done over the years. And so that was already birthed in me. So I was in the junior NAACP and moving up, so that by the time and even competitive with some of the activities that they did for young people, I remember getting a small scholarship, speaking scholarship. So I was a part of that. So that when I graduated from high school and went to college, I still maintained my membership in the home chapter. But on the college level, still being involved with voter registration. Back then, there wasn't a Martin Luther King Day holiday. And so I remember on the campus of the University of Georgia being active and moving, still pushing that agenda forward. So that when it came, you know, we look back now and say, okay, yeah, we were a part of that. But it was always something that my parents had valued and had stressed the importance of membership and activity with NAACP. And so it was just like brushing your teeth. It was something you knew you were supposed to do.
Looking back on the interview with President Evans gave me so much hope for West Liberty's future. You know, when I was talking to him, he expressed some ideas about taking students who are stuck on the hill on the weekends on a bus to the Highlands. You know, I used to be one of those students. I would sit in my dorm room all weekend thinking about what am I going to do? There wasn't much to do on campus. Every other student went home since they lived close, and I did not. I live in Cleveland, Ohio, and that's about a 3-hour drive. So I kind of had to figure out what I'm going to do, and a lot of it was just staying in my room and studying or watching YouTube or watching TV all day. And to me, that got old pretty quick. So I appreciate Dr. Evans expressing that idea about taking a bus to go to the Highlands. I would die for that. And I hope an idea like that comes to fruition with his plans in office. God, I'm speaking like he's like the president of the United States. But I told Dr. Evans that when he got elected, it was like an Obama moment for me. To be completely honest, I did not think a black president would be chosen at West Liberty, considering it's a predominantly white institution. And I'm not saying that West Liberty discriminates or anything. No, again, we have a good diversity program here. There's a lot of international students and students of color, but again, the ratio is predominantly white. And so I really wasn't expecting West Liberty to take that step and hire a person of color. To me, it was really amazing. I was mind blown, and I'm so happy too, to have a black person as the head of the campus. And I think it'll be really cool. I think he'll offer a different side of things, and you know, just make campus more fun. And like more fun than the other presidents. Like, you know, you always gotta try and do the best that you can. And I think that's what Dr. Evans is striving to do. Well, that's a wrap. Thank you for listening to this first episode of this podcast. Be sure to follow my Instagram and Facebook accounts at Your Daily Dose of Blackness to be updated on future episodes. If you know anyone lacking knowledge on the Black experience, tell them to tune in next time to get their daily dose of Blackness.